remembering our soldiers this Memorial Day weekend.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen, the hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people march with you.
AM 1460 WVOX, New Rochelle.
1460 WVOX.
Welcome back to our second half hour of our special expanded one-hour Memorial Day edition of the Sons of the American Legion radio report here on WVOX 1460 AM and heard worldwide at WVOX.com. I'm John Charan along with Ken Kratzer. And Ken, I know that this half hour we'll have a special guest that we'll be discussing, but before we go there, I just want to let our listeners know that if they want to see highlights of today's Memorial Day parade in Pelham, WCBS TV Channel 2 is there, so it should be on tonight's 5 and 6 o'clock news.
Yeah, that we were very happy to see that coverage of our event. Now, John, we're very pleased to have on the line calling us from Washington, D.C., and that is Thomas Lupke of the U.S. Fine Arts Commission. Thomas, how are you today?
I'm great, thanks.
Hey, thank you for taking time today to call into our show. You folks were very helpful to us last year with guidance on our project with the Sons of American Legion and several of the major Jewish organizations to build the Jewish Chaplain's Monument at Arlington National Cemetery. And I'm very proud to say that this is the first Memorial Day that all four of the famous four chaplains who died together heroically on the Dorchester, the troop ship, in February of 1943, for the first year ever, all four of those American heroes are honored at our most sacred place at Arlington National Cemetery. And we really thank the U.S. Fine Arts Commission for their help with helping us move that project along.
Well, we're delighted to help. There's a whole lot of wonderful memorials at Arlington, and you know, we were pleased to get that one added to the family there.
Well, Thomas, first, a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with what the U.S. Fine Arts Commission is involved with. We know that you have a role in helping to review all of the new construction in Washington and the monuments that are going to be considered. Why don't you give our audience a little bit of an idea about what the U.S. Fine Arts Commission is involved with?
Well, I'd be happy to. The technical name is actually the U.S. Commission of Fine Arts, and it was established 102 years ago, in May. It actually grew out of visionary planning for Washington, D.C. around the time of the turn of the century, what was called the Macmillan Plan. The commission is made up, a group of presidential appointees who are experts in arts related to civic issues, architecture, sculpture, urban design, landscape architecture. And these seven individuals were brought here. They're appointed with rotating 4-year terms. But the purpose is to advise the government here, the national government here in Washington, D.C., on what would be appropriate for the national capital city. It's not just the city. It's not just architecture, but it's really about promoting design quality for national symbols, whether that means memorials or museums, federal architecture. But the commission also reviews overseas battle monuments and something that you might not think of as commemorative, but coins in your pocket.
Well, that's true. I remember the day we presented to the committee, there was a presentation on some new coins that were being minted. Now, tell us a little bit about the history. What are some of the major projects honoring veterans that your commission's been involved with in Washington, D.C.?
Well, it's interesting. I had thought about this a little bit, and of course, there's kind of a range of memorials that you could talk about. In other words, some are dedicated to battles. Some might be military cemeteries. Some might be memorials to certain divisions or branches of the military. Some might be to military leaders, and some might be explicitly to a whole war. So there's been a range here in D.C. is going as far back as something for the Tripoli memorial monument, which is actually for the Barbary Wars in about 1804, and then moving all the way through to what we've been working on in the last few years, last decades, I'd say, have been these very large national war memorials that really come in the 80s and 90s.
Now, Secretary Lubke, you're involved with an organization that is involved with fine arts. Now, art is a very subjective matter. What does the Fine Arts Commission do these days to try to incorporate values from the past with desires for the future?
Well, it's a great question, and I think the best answer is that the members of the commission are their qualifications are that they are supposed to be experts in the arts related to these issues of civic art, and it's not really fine arts in the sense of paintings and drawings or something that you might see within a museum, but it's a little bit wider in terms of generally the work that they are looking at is exterior, so it's public art, architecture. And I think, we live in an age where there's a lot of, there isn't the same kind of maybe certainty that there might have been 110 years ago about how you make a memorial. I think that there's generally on this, what this commission tries to do is to push for quality and, care and appropriateness in the design.
Now, I know that part of the original commission was Frederick Law Olmsted, the architect for New York Central Park. Do you have landscape architects like that still on the commission?
Well, yes. Just to correct, it was actually the designer of Central Park was Olmsted Sr. His son was the member of. People get this confused all the time because they have the same name and they were incredibly prominent, both father and son. We do. We have Diana Balmori, who's been a member. She's a landscape architect practicing in New York. We've got architects. We've got there's always a range of these kind of expertise on the commission.
Well, we're talking with Thomas Lubke, who is the secretary of the U.S. Fine Arts Commission in Washington, D.C. And Thomas, a couple of the monuments that have been built in recent years have become very powerful symbols. Literally, as we see President Obama's today at the Vietnam Memorial, which is was quite different from other memorials at the time. Why was the Vietnam Memorial different, and then also something that has become such a striking memorial in Washington, D.C.?
Why has it become so striking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a very interesting question. There's a couple things I should explain in terms of background. Strictly speaking, there were really no national war memorials in Washington, D.C. until that memorial. So you're talking about a period where, in the American history, that mostly the commemoration for the veterans and for their service was generally done in a locality. So every square in New England, you might find a Revolutionary War memorial, and all across, different parts of the South and Midwest and other areas you might find from the Civil War. It was generally handled in the locality. What was interesting about and new about the Vietnam Veterans Memorial was that it was actually, it didn't come out of, it was actually a grassroots kind of thing. It came out of a desire to help recognize the service of these veterans in that conflict.
Now, Secretary, please hold that thought, and
okay,
you can finish it right after this Fox News break. You're listening to the Sons of the American Legion Radio Report, a special one-hour edition here on this Memorial Day 2012 on WVOX 1460 AM and heard worldwide at WVOX.com. Stay tuned with more of our interview with Secretary of the U.S. Commission of Fine Arts, Thomas Lubke, right after this brief Fox News break.
WVOX.
Welcome back to the last quarter hour of our special one-hour edition, Memorial Day edition of the Sons of the American Legion radio report here on WVOX 1460 AM and heard worldwide at WVOX.com. I'm John Churan, along with Ken Crazer, and our special guest, the Secretary of the U.S. Commission of Fine Arts, Thomas Lubke. And Secretary Lubke, you were discussing the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, and that memorial pretty much broke tradition of basically having only Roman-style designs that were out there. And you were talking about how it came about as a matter of a groundswell from the public.
Well, yes, it did. It was really focused on the individual experience of the participants. In other words, it's the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. It's not the Vietnam War Memorial. It's actually focused on those who participated and gave their lives. So it's a slightly different thing. It's the kind of memorial that you might have seen, in a way, at a battle monument out in the fields of Flanders or something. So it was. I think, and that's what was shocking about it. It was not the normal column or arch. It was actually a new typology, which is horizontal, a long wall, the inscribed names. You know, it's a very moving. It's very simple.
And I think the color also applies here, too, because almost all the other ones that I can recall are white and alabaster, and this one's black.
Right. I mean, there's sort of a, you know, oftentimes the ones that appeal to, you know, virtue and triumph and upward and onward are more vertical and white, as you say. The ones that are dark, you know, there's a certain idea about this is an experience of the tomb. So that's what makes it, I think, experientially such an intense memorial.
And Thomas, another monument that opened in Washington in somewhat recent years is a World War II monument, one that was under development for many years. I know it was a project that Senator Dole was very involved with. And even President Bill Clinton, when I met him a number of years ago, asked what my father thought about the World War II monument, as my father having been a World War II veteran. And that was something that there was a lot of critique on the design, and there were a number of changes before the final design was worked out. Now I think it's a wonderful monument with the fountains and the arches and the state names. What were some of your thoughts about the building of the World War II monument?
Well, it's interesting in that, again, you know, the National War Memorial or Monument idea didn't come about until after Vietnam established it. And if you look at Washington in the mid-century, between World War II and the 80s, there's really hardly any commemoration going on. It's really interesting. It's sort of, I guess everybody was busy building interstate highways or something. But it becomes important later to a generation that is actually then in its later years. There was a lot of controversy about putting this large memorial in the middle of the mall. Frankly, there were other sites that were studied, and actually it was the Commission of Fine Arts chairman, J. Carter Brown, who pushed very hard to have it put right there on the east-west axis. So it's sort of taking part, you know, it was so hard to deny how much the experience, the national experience of World War II, has been a fundamental changer or a factor in the American experience.
Now, Secretary Lubke, that war in particular, I think, must have presented some interesting challenges because it was involving so many different branches of service, so many different geographic locations, and to try and incorporate everybody's involvement and make it all work must have been very difficult.
Well, you know, I think the rule of thumb with a good memorial is, you know, a certain amount of abstraction and simplicity is probably better, and the more you explain, the harder it is to get everything in there. So if you can keep it simple, you can avoid the complexity. So I think that memorial does a pretty good job of keeping it simple.
And we're talking with Thomas Lubke, who is the Secretary of the U.S. Fine Arts Commission in Washington, D.C. And one of the things that we wanted to ask you your thoughts on is if a community wanted to do a veterans memorial. We have, as you mentioned, many towns throughout the Northeast, throughout the country, have their own monuments of different types that have been built over different eras. If someone came to you or a community and asked advice on a memorial for a community's veterans, what kind of ideas might you offer to them?
Well, I think it's really important to remember that it has to function in two ways. One is you have to honor those individuals right now and there you want, if it's local, if it's a local memorial, you really want their names for the people who knew those people in their part of that community. So it needs to, it actually needs to be there. As, and yet you also want to understand that there is a sacrifice that's ongoing that wants to be remembered for generations after the names start to fade in their importance. But the idea of the sacrifice and that these people gave their lives carries on. So you want to have something, some physical form that's memorable that can actually carry that meaning across the generations.
We've seen a couple of memorials, one in Coney Island for the firefighters lost in 9/11. I also saw a very good one in Binghamton, New York, where they had the photos of their community members lost in service etched right onto granite with brief biographies. And I thought both of those were both monuments that really brought those people back to life by being able to remember them visually. It's not always possible to do that. How common is that to be able to do that, to do a, you know, kind of a photo on granite type of memorial?
Well, I think technically it's getting easier and easier. They have all sorts of techniques. The interesting trend, which you put your finger right on, is that, you know, in the last 60 or so years, we've seen the more and more the translation of photography into the memorials. And actually, it starts with maybe that most famous memorial, the Iwo Jima Marine Corps Memorial, where they took a photograph, a newsreel, a news clip photograph, and it literally translated into a bronze statue. So that's the beginning, and of course, it carries on to this day. We're looking right now with the Martin Luther King Memorial was certainly based on a photograph, and it takes us into the question, some of the questions about the Eisenhower Memorial as well.
Another monument in Washington that I enjoy going to visit is a Navy memorial. I believe that's right on Pennsylvania Avenue, and that depicts about 30 or so murals depicting each department and branch of service within the Navy.
And historic events.
And historic events. And, of course, the submarine, the Wahoo, is depicted in that, which we've followed very closely. What are your thoughts about those kind of monuments where actual scenes are depicted in one way or another?
Well, that's a very interesting, you know, a lot of these branches of the military have memorials which they've gotten. There's also the Air Force Memorial up in Arlington. You know, it's an interesting approach. What it does is allow it's more explanatory about what does this branch of service do. It's not quite so commemorative in the sense that it's, you know, talking about one particular group of people or one conflict. But that's a very effective memorial when you get on in the middle and you're sort of on this big lens of granite, which is really like depicting the ocean with all the land at the periphery, and then you see these bas relief panels on the edge, and then there's of course the lone sailor standing there in the middle. It's a very effective experience.
Okay, and what are some of the current projects going on in Washington? I know there's a monument being developed now to President Eisenhower, and there's been some discussion about at what age in his life to actually depict the general who became president.
Well, that is one of the bigger controversies for memorials right now. It seems like we've got a major presidential memorial about every, I don't know, you know, they don't happen that often. The FDR memorial was completed in the 90s, but it was begun in the late 50s. So this is going to be the first one. It's a whole square near the Air and Space Museum. And the controversy is exactly what you said: how to depict the contributions of the man who led, you know, the Allied forces in World War II, as well as, you know, presided over a very important period of American history in the 1950s.
There's of course a wonderful sculpture to General Eisenhower at West Point in front of the main barracks there. Thomas Lupke, we want to thank you so much for calling us on Memorial Day, and we hope we can have you join us again in the near future. But thank you for all the work that the U.S. Fine Arts Commission does to honor our veterans, and in particular, the help the commission gave us last year to honor chaplains and the Jewish Chaplains Monument at Arlington National Cemetery.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, and it's our honor to serve you.
Okay, you have a good rest of the day.
Okay.
Okay, John, that's an interview we were kind of working on for a while to schedule it in here on Memorial Day to talk about how we can honor our veterans and those lost in service through artwork and monuments.
Well, great compliments to you for finally arranging it and for being able to arrange it on Memorial Day itself. I mean, it couldn't be a more perfect honoree to discuss here, because these memorials are things that people can see throughout the year, but at the same time, they're ones that most people see once a year, and that would be on Memorial Day. So it was a great opportunity, and we really appreciate Secretary Lubke for making that himself available here on a holiday.
Well, it's been a busy week between sailing on the Wasp up to New York and all of the Fleet Week activities. So great to have the Sailors and Marines and Coast Guard members in New York City, and West Point graduation, the picnic for the veterans up at Playland. Yesterday, you got a chance to go down the Wasp yesterday for a reception, and then the parades in many communities in Westchester, certainly the ones we've been involved with in New Rochelle, and then also in Pelham. The way to commemorate Memorial Day by honoring today's veterans, but also remembering those who served in the past. And what we've done in Pelham is read the names of the 88 residents of the community who have died in military service.
You're exactly right, Ken. And you've been listening to the Sons of the American Legion radio report here on WVOX 1460 AM and heard worldwide at WVOX.com. We thank today's special guest, the Secretary of the U.S. Commission of Fine Arts, Thomas Lubke, for joining us today. And now remember, this is Memorial Day. Remember to remember our veterans and to thank them today and every day. See you next week.